and thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, hoping that you are finding yourself in a great deal of health and happiness as we move pretty quickly into the fall season, although today is actually still in the 80s, which is how I like it, and hope that you are doing well. And you know that we bring you The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z every Tuesday right here on Progressive Radio Network from 10 to 11 a.m. But one of the wonderful things about Progressive Radio Network is that you can tune in anytime, day or night. You don't have to listen right while we're on. You can listen anytime. And you can tell your friends and family, if they are interested, that they can catch any of the shows right here on the Gary Null Network, Progressive Radio Network, anytime. And you can also meet myself and my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, in person by coming to any of our on-ground lectures and workshops, such as a trip that we do in March to live with indigenous shamanic healers in various areas of the world, including Jamaica and Costa Rica. And that class actually has college credits. Or you can join us on online classes, such as Botanical Remedies for Inflammation, learning how to market your own herbal products, getting a certification in natural medicine. All of those things can be done online. And you can visit naturalnurse.com to see when you'd like to join us. We also always present at the Navel Expo. That's N-A-V-E-L-E-X-P-O, NavelExpo.com. And you can visit the Navel Expo to find out when the next Naval Expo is coming to your area. They happen several times a year, both in Manhattan and Long Island. And the guest that we will be having on today is going to be a presenter at the Naval Expo. And that is naturopathic physician and licensed acupuncturist, Dr. Pina Luigi. Dr. Pina is the co-founder of the naturopathic clinic, Inner Source Health. She is a well-recognized expert in the field of natural medicine, and she was awarded the Healthcare Heroes Award, along with her husband, Dr. Peter Bongiorno, in the category for complementary and alternative health. Dr. Pina is the past president of the New York Association of Naturopathic Physicians, and is also an honored member of the American Association for Naturopathic Physicians. She has taught at New York University, Mount Sinai School of Medicine, and is on the adjunct faculty at the Natural Gourmet Institute for Food and Health. She is a frequent expert guest on the Dr. Oz Show, which is a wonderful demonstration of her knowledge and talents, as well as numerous other media. And on today's show, we're going to cover topics from the latest book that she wrote called The Little Book of Healthy Beauty, Simple Daily Habits to Get You Glowing. Actually, it's to get your glowing, not to get you glowing. That is right, to get you glowing. So without further ado, let's say hello to Dr. Pina. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Ellen. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
I did want to check the front of the book, and it does say on the front of the book, Simple Daily Habits to Get You Glowing. But just so you know, in the piece of literature that was sent to me, that you somehow turned to a your. So I just wanted you to know that. So I wanted to double check which the right way was. And basically, what made you decide with all the many topics that you are expert at in natural medicine, what made you decide to write this particular book about healthy beauty?
Well, really the whole idea is that about really beauty, as everyone does know but doesn't want to really acknowledge, that beauty does come from the inside out. And as a naturopathic physician, our main goal is to try to optimize our health, not just by external means, but it's what are we doing for our bodies so that we can get that glow. And so really for me, not just because every state doesn't recognize naturopathic medicine, and not everyone has access to naturopathic physicians, I wanted to write a book about what I tell my patients every single day, so that every person has a very user-friendly guide that they too can optimize their health if they don't have access to a naturopathic physician. So for me, it was just this really nice inspiration to spread the word about natural medicine and just talk about where beauty really comes from the inside.
Well, we will definitely go into that and some of the specific information you have in your book, but I would like to backtrack because our own co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, is also a naturopathic physician, and I know that you have been a very active advocate of the profession on a political level as well as doing it obviously on a daily level with patients. What made you decide, Pina, to choose to become a naturopathic physician?
Well, really it was my own health journey. So when I was growing up, I was constantly sick with digestive issues, and my mother had taken me to numerous doctors over the years. And basically, you know, I went to one doctor, and he's like, well, you know, this is your digestive tract, and this is how you're going to have to live for the rest of your life. And, you know, he kind of, you know, stamped me and disregarded me, saying, well, this is just you and this is what you have to live with. And, you know, being a very stubborn Sicilian, I'm like, you know, there's got to be more. And it wasn't until I graduated college that I was blessed enough to come across my first naturopath. And, you know, I went to that appointment, and within 2 weeks, he changed my life. I had never felt better. I was like, it was a miracle. So in college, I was studying to go to conventional medical school. But once I had this experience with this naturopath, I knew that this is what I absolutely had to study, that there was absolutely a lot more to medicine. And just the profound healing that I experienced, this is just what I wanted to learn. And that's what brought me to naturopathy.
Well, what kind of treatments had the conventional doctor had you on, and what kind of diagnosis did they give you?
Well, basically, it ended up being just an irritable bowel, and what happened is they just either at the time didn't, you know, gave me various pharmaceuticals to control it, or they really had very little advice. I mean, granted, this is going back, you know, I'm not going to age myself, but a long time. So they had very little advice or help for me. So that's why they said, well, this is how you have to live.
And unfortunately, you know, it's not much different, the information that patients are getting, unless they're fortunate enough to find someone like you who is a trained naturopathic physician.
Right. And so for me, once I was able to see the naturopath, and it was the first time someone made the connection between food and my health, and that, you know, food is information for the body. And so he changed my diet. He gave me just very few supplements, and it was miraculous. I had never felt better. You know, I had spent my whole life worrying about what my stomach was going to do. Was I going to be in abdominal pain? Could I go out? Could I socialize? And just to be free of that anxiety and being able to live was just, you know, to me, an absolute miracle. And I felt like, you know, this is where medicine is going.
Well, let's hope so. Now, then you decided to become a naturopath, and why do you think that there's only certain states that actually license naturopathic physicians?
Well, I think it's a combination, not to get super political, but I think it's a combination.
Oh, no, we can get political.
with the American Medical Association, and because what happens is, even though naturopathic physicians are a recognized profession by our United States government, the licensing for physicians is governed state by state. So the states that are already licensed is either they had a really good naturopathic group that, you know, got a bill license and there was enough support in the state, and those state senators and assemblymen thought, you know, it was an essential part of the state's health care to license naturopathic physicians. And the states that do license naturopathic physicians, it shows that their health care costs are lower, that people have more access to good primary care medicine. And so that's really important. But then you have other states where you have their medical societies that I personally think have a stronger pull on those, you know, legislators that they're just not willing to license us, even though it'll be profoundly beneficial for the people of the state. So I really think it's more of a political issue rather than anything else, because when you look at our practice as a physician, our malpractice is basically non-existent. We have very little to none malpractice cases. Like, what we do is optimize people's health and help people stay off pharmaceuticals, which, again, I'm sure big pharmaceutical industries don't like that. But it's really about changing the perspective on health and disease, where I think the current model, they'd rather people stay sicker so that bigger industries can be, you know, still be getting paid, rather than looking at the health and well-being of people. So if every state were licensed, I think it would be amazingly a positive change for the country as a whole.
I completely agree with you, Dr. Pina, not only for the country as a whole, because it brings down health care costs to know the kind of things that you discuss every day and that you talk about in the little book of Healthy Beauty. So it brings down health care costs, let alone personal suffering. Doesn't it seem amazing that, as you said, this was several years ago, that you luckily or through God's grace stumbled upon naturopathic medicine, saw a tremendous change in your health, and was able to really have a completely different kind of and happier and healthier life just by making simple changes? And yet, it really does cause me a lot of agita that even today, conventionally trained physicians, although the science is there, will tell people who have things like irritable bowel syndrome and obvious digestive difficulties that food has nothing to do with their digestion. How is that possible?
Well, believe it or not, most patients don't even know that nutrition is an elective in medical school. They don't even have to take a nutrition class. So 90% of the time, that class is not even taken. So they really have no idea, you know. And unfortunately, medical schools now, too, are very much, you know, pharmaceutically driven. It's not about health. It's about disease. And it's unfortunate.
It really is. And, you know, we are fortunate that you, you know, had yourself as a motivational factor to find a way to move towards a much healthier lifestyle, and it made a difference pretty quickly. And it's just amazing, I would have to say, that happens to everyone. I'm not going to say every single person is 100% healed just by changing their diet, but really, we usually see tremendous changes, and I've had patients just, you know, cry with both joy and anger. Joy that they're finally getting an answer to help them with their health condition, and anger that no one had told them about it until that point.
I agree with you. Like that, I see that all the time as well, and it's, you know, and I think, you know, and I think the problem, too, is that in the current conventional model, many conventional physicians are, you know, I don't want to say afraid, but, you know, unfortunately don't have the knowledge base that, you know, naturopathic doctors are trained physicians, that we do know what we're doing. So 90% of the time, if a patient approaches their physician about, hey, this is what I'm looking to do, you know, they're told no, or they're scorned, or they're made to feel ashamed that they're exploring other options. But one thing I constantly say to all my patients, and even when I lecture on TV, you need to be your own healthcare advocate. No one knows your body better than you. And I tell even patients who come to see me, if you feel like what I'm saying is not resonating with you, it doesn't mean natural medicine doesn't work. It may be that my approach doesn't work. But the fact of the matter is there are options, and you do have to follow, you know, your journey and where it's going to bring you. And I think the confusion is that people get, like I said, you know, scared into or shamed into not exploring it. They're stuck in one model. But I think the real power comes in with education. I think it's coming to education on the current conventional medical students about natural medicines, that it is safe and effective, and a lot more education in the media and the public that patients can say, you know what, I don't have to be afraid to try it. It's not going to kill me. I mean, this is, you know, medicine from the beginning of time. You clearly made it all the way to this date, even prior to the discovery of penicillin. So Mother Nature really has blessed us with a lot of different medicines that will heal.
That's so true. And you have spent years learning about it. The other confusing issue for me, and obviously that I discuss often with clients, is that sometimes people call themselves a naturopathic physician and they did not attend a licensed and accredited naturopathic university like you did with years of medical study. What is that confusion about?
Well, the problem is that because there isn't not every state licenses naturopathic medicine, that people can, you know, do an online training and call themselves a naturopath. And so there's a big, big, big difference in a person who went to a four-year naturopathic accredited medical school, which I tell people it is just like medical school. It's the same basic sciences. It's the same anatomy, physiology, pharmacology. And then on top of that, you have to learn all the natural modalities versus someone who took an online coursing. Not that I'm saying that those online coursing isn't helpful, that they can't help people, but it is a difference in degree in what we're doing. Like, we take minor surgery, we take gynecology, we do, you know, a lot of physical exams. So we really understand the human body just as your primary care physician would. So for me, even when I go to the state legislators here in New York and I say, listen, people are looking for natural medicine, and you could either send them to someone like me who is licensed and well-trained as you would any conventional physician, or they're going to find people who may not be in the right hands. You know, and that, unfortunately, it's a detriment to the patient, and it brings also harm to the name of the profession. So for me, it's profoundly infuriating, you know, but... You know what? For me, so if we can get the state license and get it and harness enough community support, my hope that is once New York changes, I really do believe it will be a domino effect across the country, because New York is a big state regarding to like laws, and so a lot of people follow what New York does.
Yeah, and that is important. Of course, we do have Connecticut. Connecticut is a fully licensed naturopathic state, and even has
since 1922.
Really, is it that long?
Yes.
So did it just sort of, because the eclectic physicians did natural medicine? Of course, that's what was around at that time. There were no pharmaceutical drugs. So how did a naturopathic licensing law stay in place since 1922? I did not realize that, Dr. Pina.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time. Again, at the same time, the legislators in Connecticut believed it was an important need to have the people of Connecticut have access to. And fortunately, they've been able to expand on their bill over the years so that you can see a naturopathic physician as your primary care doctor in Connecticut. So to me, it's like, as to why our neighbor can do it and why we can't is clearly very political.
Well, thank you so much, because you certainly are knowledgeable in that area. And, of course, you have continued to see people anyway. And I know that you and your husband have two clinics available in New York.
We do. We have one in Manhattan, in New York City. It's in a block down from Penn Station. So between 29th and 30th on 7th Avenue, and then we have another location in Huntington here on Long Island.
So that's great. So people do still have access to you, and I believe you're also a licensed naturopath, which is, as well as being a licensed naturopath in states that have that kind of license, you're also a licensed acupuncturist.
Yes, so I did my master's and my doctorate at the same time. So I was in school a very long time and did a lot of work where I was able to get my doctorate in naturopathic medicine and then my three-year master's degree in acupuncture, because the first naturopath that I had seen had also done both degrees, and I personally found that it expedited the care, meaning that, you know, natural medicine, it's beautiful, it works, it's safe, but sometimes it could be a little slow, where I found when you add in the acupuncture, it expedited the healing, which was great.
Wow. Well, thank you for all that sharing. We're going to just take a little break right now, right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Pina Liguchi. And did I say your name right? Liguchi.
No, that's okay.
it's not an easy thing. We'll call you Dr. Pina. And
that's
also, she's very, very easy to find online. And we have all that information on our archives with today's show. And when we come back, we're going to talk in detail about her new book, The Little Book of Healthy Beauty. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called thyme, which we believe is Thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of Thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up The Natural Medicine Chest.
And welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us today right here on the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We do have hundreds and hundreds of shows and over 200,000 people downloading them. So that's so nice to know. And let us know what you'd like to hear about. You can give us a heads up right at naturalnurse.com through the contact, or you can go to facebook.com, The Natural Nurse, and let us know what you'd like to learn or your favorite natural topic or your favorite natural doctor that perhaps we can have on the air here, just like we have today's guest. And today's guest is Dr. Pina Laguiche-Desai. We're going to let her say that for us. But Dr. Pina is the co-founder of a naturopathic clinic known as Inner Source Health. Very easy to find her, all one word, Inner Source Health. Dr. Pina is the co-founder of that particular clinic, along with her husband, who's a naturopathic physician as well, Dr. Peter Bujorno. And she has won many awards and appears regularly on Dr. Oz as an expert guest about natural medicine. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Pina.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Now, say your last name for me.
It's Lo Judy Che. It's Italian. So it means the judge.
Because we have another show coming up, so I might attempt it then. That is not an easy last name to pronounce, but Dr. Pina is an easy name to remember, and thank you so much for joining us today. Now, let's talk about some of what's going on in this very nice book, which, by the way, was mailed to me. It's The Little Book of Healthy Beauty. What made you want to do this as a little book? And by the way, you have a quote right on the front from the very famous and well-known Dr. Oz.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. He's been, you know, I've been on the show over like about 20 times now, and so when I told him I was writing a book, he was very kind enough to write a support blurb, so I really am very, very grateful for that because, you know, he's one of the few physicians, conventional physicians, that's really trying to put out good information on natural medicine, so I absolutely appreciated his support. And writing this book, for me, was just, again, just a further extension of my ability of what I was what I'm able to tell my patients every day. So I do, you know, I wanted to make this a very user-friendly book because, you know, when it comes to the vast amount of information on natural medicine, it's obviously tremendous. And especially since the area of medicine is exploding, there's no way to put it in a very large book. So I wanted something where it's user-friendly, people can refer to it over and over. You know, I know we have the holidays coming up, and it's a great, I think, stocking stuffer because if you have someone in your life that you love and they don't know where to start in terms of how to optimize their health, you know, for a man or a woman, it's, a very useful guide to get started.
Well, we're going to talk about some of the information that people would find in the Little Book of Healthy Beauty. And let me ask you this. At the Naval Expo, and that's NAVELEXPO, NavalExpo.com, you will be presenting there, I believe. Is there a topic that you'll be covering?
It will be on the book, because in my book I talk about these six master keys to get us glowing, which is sleep, food, exercise, relaxation, detox, and then some supplements. So I'll be talking on those master keys at the Naval Expo.
Well, here's some questions from your book. I know you talk about something very specific, which is cooking temperature. How does cooking temperature of food impact health?
Right. A lot of people think when it comes to food, the only thing that they have to worry about is, you know, is it organic or is it, you know, a clean food? But actually, there's a big, big, it's very important, I should be saying, but how we prepare our food also makes a difference on how it affects our health. Because what happens when you're cooking food at a very high heat, you're creating this compound called AGES, which is advanced glycated end products, which is something that literally ages our body and ages our skin. So when you're, because what happened is that proteins and sugars come together and they cross-link, and they basically stiffen the body. They stiffen the blood vessels, and they, not only that, they stiffen our exterior, our outside skin, so we look more aged from the inside and the outside. So what I recommend to patients all the time is to slow cook the food, lower heat, lower temperature. So what happens when you cook foods at a lower heat, you're not creating these ages. And so because many times people think, oh, let me grill it, let me get rid of the fat, it'll be leaner. But the fact of the matter is grilling or stir-frying creates these age compounds, which are not good for you at all.
That's right. And isn't it amazing that the mnemonic for that particular word is age? And
right.
It fits right along with what it does, because it does cause an aging of the, basically of the membrane of the cells. And
right.
One thing you just said might surprise a lot of people. They don't necessarily relate to stir-frying the same way they would relate to grilling, because it's pretty well known, I would say, maybe not, but I think a lot of people know that those black lines that you get on barbecued meat,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's very, very toxic and is highly carcinogenic. But they may not know that also stir-frying can create these age-related compounds.
That's right. And so, you know, because they think, oh, I'm going to make a tofu stir-fry, and yes, in theory, it's, you know, a healthier than having, let's say, fried chicken, but the fact of the matter is you're still creating these ages. So what I tell patients, like, if you're going to cook most of your meals, crock-pot cooking, slow heat cooking, boiling your food, is so much healthier than constantly stir-frying.
Well, another thing that people can do is actually stir-fry with water and no
yes.
oil.
Right.
And
so
you know what? Then
like
when you take
steam,
it off, you can
right.
put whatever healthy oil you want on it. Let's say coconut oil would be a good choice, or red palm oil. Those are two that I really like using. And it has the same taste. You just put the oil on it after you're done cooking, and then the oil is never heated.
That's right, because what most people don't realize is that when they heat an oil, even though it's, let's say, olive oil, everyone knows how healthy olive oil is, but if you're heating it, you're now oxidizing that oil, so it doesn't have all those healthy components that you want.
That's so true. Now, that's a, you know, a really good little tip and something that's extremely easy for people to go ahead and try, you know, put into their lifestyle and try.
Right, absolutely.
So I think that that's a wonderful tip. Now, also, what about steaming?
So steaming is definitely also is a low age. So I'm okay with steaming your food because it doesn't create those cross-linking compounds that that create the ages.
Now, when you talk about baking, doesn't that cause the creation of other compounds like acrylamides, especially with
yes.
wheat-based products?
Absolutely. So, you know, I tell patients, you know, we really recommend, you know, you could see a lot in European countries when they eat a lot of soups and stews. That is really the best way to eat. It's easy for you to digest the food. All the nutrition stays in the soup itself, so it's profound, so your body gets to absorb all that beautiful nutrition. So I definitely recommend, and now we're coming into those winter months, as a great way how we should be eating most of the time.
Well, another good tip, healthy tip, is, you know, make one of those soups like you're talking about. You can put everything in it that's healthy, and then let it cool down. Scoop it into glass containers that have these tight
yeah.
tops. Let it cool, and then you can freeze it. And I even did this way back when. My children are now 42 and 38, so it's a long time ago, and I've been doing holistic living since 1964, and it
wow,
always
great.
Worked very well to where they would be able to use those as snacks anytime. And this was before, by the way, before cell phones, before microwaves. We used to just take the soup out of the freezer, let it sit room temperature for a while till it defrosted, and then put it in a little pot and warm it up. So it made it very, very easy.
Yeah, there are a lot. I mean, there's just, you know, people think most of the time that, you know, if you're eating naturally or eating cleaner or trying to take healthier, taking care of your health through good food takes a lot of work, and it really doesn't. You know, I think if there's so many community-supported agricultures where you can pick up a box of, you know, organic vegetables straight from the farm, you can, you know, buy the food that's, you know, it's clean. First of all, there are a lot more pop-up of these cleaner, you know, organic health food stores where you could buy yourself a nice lunch or a soup or a stew these days. But nonetheless, it really does not create a lot of work. You have like a cooking day. That's what I do on a Sunday, where you can make food for the week, do exactly as you did in terms of, you know, storing things in the freezer, having things more readily accessible. And then it's not hard. I would say the probably the hardest thing I find for patients is when they travel. That would be probably the most difficult thing.
Well, you know what? That also really just takes planning, because I would say I lecture somewhere else almost every week. Just in the last few, I have been in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Vancouver, British Columbia, and Florida. So, you know, that's, I'm on the road a lot. So, of course, like you said, if that's constantly a challenge, then if you travel a lot, you're never eating healthy. But I have found just by pre-buying and taking things with you, because that same, I'll make steamed vegetables and put them in those containers and take them with me. That can go right through the, I don't go through that machine with the, I only go through the x-ray machine. I don't go through that machine that has basically radiation. I just completely do not have that. And sometimes they say, oh, well, then you'll have to get a pat-down. And I go, great, a free massage. But I put the food also through the metal detector, and it's always fine. You can't take soup, though. That is a challenge, because they will take that away because it's a liquid. But you can take steamed vegetables. So I take them already, and then I bring other ones just all cut up. Like I will bring salad, but I won't put dressing on it. And that just stays very, very just fine, like the whole entire day on the road. So, again, it's just about deciding that you're important enough to put a little extra prep time and make grab-and-go packets so you always have that healthy food ready to go. And, boy, that is a challenge for some people, but I think it only has to do with mindset more than actual time, and certainly not money. It's so much more cost-effective to bring your own food as well.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I mean, I'm always traveling with food. You know, people would say to me, they're like, oh, I'm, like, I could be at my daughter's event or something. They're like, oh, I'm hungry. I'm like, okay, what do you want? I have snacks in my bag. I'm always carrying, whether it's almonds, nuts, seeds, or you know, fresh fruit or whatever it is. It really is doable, you know, to eat clean and healthy.
Now, having children does create certainly extra challenges, because just because you choose to eat healthy does not mean your children do.
Well, you know what? I think it's, you know, having our daughter, we didn't raise her to be like psychotic or afraid of food. You know, I think, you know, we've been, you know, again, we're blessed with a lot of things around us. It's just about what I wanted to teach her from a very early age is about how food resonates with her body. Like, my daughter is very attuned that when she eats something unhealthy, or if she has a friend's birthday party that, you know, okay, there might have been foods there that I wouldn't have picked, that she comes home and she's like, you know what, that didn't make me feel good. And what I'm finding as she's getting older, she chooses not to eat those foods. So she's very mindful when she's also not feeling well. She stays away from, she watches the sugar, or, you know, she knows how, and that's the whole key with children. It's not making them afraid of food, not making them paranoid. You know, if my daughter wants to try something because the other kids are trying, I let her try it. I say, okay, but how does that make your body feel? And then she can make that decision. And I just want her to be a more grounded, you know, informed adult, so that she knows, okay, what is working for me and what isn't. And so, and so far, you know, by the grace of God, she's in amazing health, and really, you know, she understands good food and nutrition.
That is great. And, yeah, that makes you feel like you really got your point across. And, of course, you're acting also to mirror the kind of action that you would love her to take as well. So that's great information for our parents. Now, as a parent, did you also use natural techniques with your child while she's growing up?
Oh, my gosh, 100%. You know, many families are, you know, I remember when I first started a practice, I had a patient come in and who she was doing really well under my care, and she started talking about her child who had asthma, and I said, oh, you should, you know, have them come in, and I can, you know, get them on track and help them with their asthma. And she literally said, oh, you could do whatever you want with me, but, you know, you can't touch my kid. And I'm like, and to me, I was so surprised that how could, A, if you're noticing yourself the profound differences that natural medicine is taking, how do you not want to have that spread throughout your family? And for me, it's I used herbal medicines, homeopathic vitamins from when she was newborn, itsy bitsy. And like I said, she's, you know, rarely out of school. She's, you know, she's kids who's always present. She's highly alert and natural. And she knows that, you know what? Okay, mom, you forgot to give me my fish oil today. My skin. So she knows what these things do for her body. All I can say is just as a vision of my own child, what great health she is, and the parents that do decide to bring their kids under my care, how well they do with various conditions, whether they're a child on the spectrum, whether they have asthma, whether they have eczema, you know, digestive issues also. You can start empowering your child from a very early age with natural medicine because, again, once they resonate that natural medicine does work for them, that they don't have to pop a pill or a drug to make them feel better. They just will grow as adults being more informed and more empowered and understanding the nuances of their body so that they can optimize their own health as they grow and develop.
That's so
true.
So you're doing that by example, certainly. Now,
yeah,
what about the fact that skin, you know, a lot of people think the only way that your skin, because, of course, your book is a little book of healthy beauty, and your skin is the first thing that reflects, really, your health as well as beauty. How is it that people think that only sun damage is what causes people to start to look older?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just a marketing. We talk about the sun damage and what that does to our bodies, but the fact of the matter is, you know, cigarette smoke, the chemicals we put on our body in terms of cosmetic, stress, how we cook our food, lack of exercise, all those things will age our skin and make us look older. So it's not just, you know, people are afraid of the sun, which for me, it's, you know, absolutely ridiculous because you need that vitamin D for skin health, for cardiovascular health, for cancer protection. So people have been running away or blocking, you know, putting pounds of sunblock on, and again, not necessarily organic, clean sunblock, so they're putting more chemicals into their body, and they're basically defeating the purpose of what they want to be doing.
Yeah, that's really, really a wonderful idea. Now, what about putting things on the skin like sunblock?
Well, again, what I recommend is that if you're going to be out in high heat sun, you know, first of all, if you're going to use sunblock, make sure it's clean and organic, that you don't have something that's full of chemicals. So that's the first thing. Secondarily, if you're not going to be out in those prime sun hours, which is basically 11 to 2, and you're not fair skin, you know, it's okay to, you know, not put something on just to keep, because believe it or not, if your vitamin D levels are sufficient, it inherently becomes a natural sunblock for your body.
That is a very good information because a lot of people know about vitamin D now, but how would somebody know if their vitamin D levels are sufficient?
So that's basically a simple blood test. And what, again, most conventional physicians now will run a vitamin D value. But the problem is, what I tell patients all the time, is that the doctor will just say, okay, your value is fine. But I tell every patient to always get a copy of their blood test because, like I said, you need to be your own healthcare advocate. And what happens, patients will come in, and I look at their vitamin D, and let's say, so the bottom number of vitamin D is 30. And let's say they're at a 30. That's, you're just barely into normal. Optimal vitamin D ranges is between 60 and 80. And if you're not there, your blood values are low, and that's when you need to supplement. So that's why if you get your blood tested from your doctor, say, can I have a copy of that? And look at the number yourself and realize, oh, wait, that's not between 60 and 80. I need to supplement.
That is such fantastic information, Dr. Pina, because I really think people rely too much on that reference range. Everyone should get a copy, either electronic, which a lot of places have a patient portal and you can get an electronic copy, or ask for a paper copy and keep it in a manila folder, you're old fashioned like me. And so you need to look at every single value and look at the reference range. And then if you're educated enough, and you just notice what Dr. Pina said, is that for particular values, such as vitamin D, the reference range that normally is indicated on the blood test is not the optimum range. So she shared with you, even if you are within reference range, and of course your own physician will just say nothing, because usually unless they see a value that's outside of normal on the lab reference, they're not going to tell you what the value is. You need to look. And to have an optimum vitamin D level, which, by the way, the research is ongoing and being updated as we speak, really looks like we need a lot more vitamin D to be protective against various illnesses than most people have.
100%. And the only, and so most people, you know, what happened, interestingly, is that when people started using sunblock, yes, did they find in research a small diminishing in skin cancer, but what they also find skyrocketing was heart disease and cancer. So, you know, so it's about being mindful when you're out in the sun. So it's not just exposing yourself constantly where you're burning your skin, but it is also getting yourself out there where you can absorb the vitamin D so that it can be disease preventative. The only last thing that I also recommend for patients, there is a botanical called polypodium that if you take 200 milligrams a day, it actually, and you take that a couple of weeks prior to full sun exposure, let's say in the spring months before you're going out to the sun, it actually diminishes your reactivity to sun and actually prevents sunburning as well. So again, Mother Nature does provide us with some botanicals even for some sun protection.
Now, how do you think that works? Do they know the mechanism of action? Does it have
beta-carotene
in it? Or, you know, how is that working?
I'm sorry, what was that last question?
You know, I know sometimes people will take things that increase their beta-carotene that will give them some protection from the sun as well. So how does that particular plant work if we know the mechanism of action?
You know, I actually don't know the exact mechanism, but they just, because I haven't looked at the article recently, but I know it is good for the, to diminishing the sunburnings, just like the beta carotenes would.
Yeah, so that's why I'm wondering, maybe that's what it has. Maybe it has, I'm going to have to look that up.
Level.
I don't know about that. What are some of the other supplements that you would recommend for people if they want to have a high level of healthy beauty and get you glowing?
Well, the basic thing I always recommend to everyone is absolutely everyone should be on a multi, a fish oil, and a probiotic. You know, because unfortunately, even in organic foods, because our soils are so nutrient depleted and we are under chronic stress, on environmental burden, I do think that we go through our vitamins very quickly and we're not getting it enough through food. So I do think everyone needs a good, high-quality, multiple-time-a-day multivitamin. I also think everyone needs a good fish oil for great general health, brain health, skin health, cardiovascular health. Absolutely, everyone should be on that. And then the information coming out on probiotics and the microbiome in terms of having a good, healthy flora and what that does, too, also for cancer prevention, heart disease, and digestive health. You know, aside from that, I make some recommendations in my book, like pycnogenol or resveratrol or
chromium. Wait a minute. We have time to talk about those a little bit. Pycnogenol is a great one to talk about. What do you say about that?
So pycnogenol is really has to be, I don't know, I would say almost one of my favorites. So pycnogenol is comes from the French maritime pine bark extract. So kind of where they make those beautiful Bordeaux in France, where they have wonderful wine. Those forests over there have like no pesticides or herbicides allowed. So, but they are able to extract this pine bark and make pycnogenol. So pycnogenol is a very high bioflavonoid that's basically like a super antioxidant that increases your cell's antioxidant ability. So it supports your blood vessels, it minimizes effects of stress on your heart and your vascular system. It actually decreases those ages that we talked about earlier. It protects also, again, the skin from the sun rays. It aids in skin circulation, helps with the skin elasticity and water composition, so your skin looks tighter and plumper. So it's a really wonderful, wonderful bioflavonoid that's great for our body.
Wow, that is a whole lot of information, and I want to thank you so much for it. So tell us about how people can access information about you. And I know you're so busy knowing how to find. They can even find you on YouTube, by the way, because I believe all the pieces you've done with Dr. Oz are on YouTube as well.
Yep, they should be there. We have our main practice website, which is innersourcehealth.com. That's InnerSource health.com. And then I have my own private page of Dr. Pina ND. That's drpinand.com. So those are basically the two main places that you could find good information about me and our practice. And then if you want to purchase the book, you can find them on the usual suspects, either on Amazon or on our website as well.
That's wonderful. And thank you so much for taking the time to be our guest today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and for all the great work you're doing with people. I mean, you're just all over the place. I'm so happy Dr. Oz found you. I think you're a fantastic spokesperson in the field, and by you being on there, you're able to touch so many lives, which are mainstream people that may not have the ability to find this information out.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, I love what you do. I've been a big follower of yours for many, many years, so I have to also thank you for, continuing the spirit of natural medicine and promoting it. So I'm so grateful to you as well. And, I think the more people that talk about natural medicine and talk about our options in healthcare, I think ultimately we'll get that change that we're looking for in the country.
Well, thank you. And meanwhile, we're doing it. While we're waiting for change, we are the change.
Right, so we are doing it. We are the change, right.
So I want to remind you, listeners, that you can find out more by going to navelexpo.com. That's NAVELEXPO. Go anytime. Find out when the next presentation is going on. And myself, Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and Dr. Pina are also presenters there, along with almost 70 other holistic medicine practitioners. You can find out more about Dr. Pina at InnerSourceHealth.com. Or yours truly, The Natural Nurse, at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.